All right, we are live. Want to introduce yourself, Ryan? Anybody want to plug?
I'm still trying to bring it up, make sure it pops up on the YouTube, so just to make sure it is live.
Yeah,
all right,
too.
There we go.
Yeah.
Ryan from RPS Dent Repair in Baltimore, Maryland.
David, Windy City, Chicago, Windy City Dent Repair.
And Chris, Dentless Touch, Washington, D.C. And for the few people that are watching, welcome to the live Q&A. Let's see. You want to start off with some tools, you know, like we always do.
Let Dave O start this week.
Yeah, he didn't have anything last week, so.
Yeah, I didn't have my adjustable door tool, but today.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I have my trusty dent dial. I finally put a bend in it.
You mean rusty dent dial.
Mine is that part.
That's an aggressive bend.
And it was it was bent a lot more. It was almost at a 90. I had to bend it for a Honda CRV front door that had the molding taken out. And I needed to get to that top body line. And there was nothing that was really going to give me the leverage that I needed. So I was like, you know what? I have this dent dial that I got at MTE. Let me see if I can put it to use.
That's my favorite tool.
This is the 22 heavy duty.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I used it last week, and I loved it. I didn't put a tip on it. I actually just used the metal tip itself. I just used it just like this, how it is. And I love it. And then I did a Lexus CT200 last week fender, and I used a double bend from Ultra. And then Ryan over here was like, well, you have the dent dial. Why didn't you use that? And I said, I didn't even think to use it. So I have now actually just put this in my cart full time. So I've been using this more. I haven't put any tips on it. I don't have any sales tips either. But so far, I like it. 22 heavy duty.
Favorite tool, man.
You know what? I watched your video. I'm like, why didn't you use a dent dial?
I know. I know. Yeah, I know. This is definitely in the cart now, full time.
If you're fixing fenders, I do a lot of fender smashes. That is the tool right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how it is on wait time with getting one online. He had this at MTE, so I was able to buy it there right on the spot. But I know the wait time, I think, is a little longer if you do try to buy it online. But definitely recommended 22 heavy duty.
Do you have the other version?
No, I'm sure there's going to be the light duty. No,
no, you don't have it.
But I'm sure there's going to be instances where this isn't long enough, and I'm probably going to want that 35, and I'm going to probably kick myself in the ass for not having that. But so far, so good. I love the thing. I really like it. A good flat bar is always nice to have.
A little pricey, but they are.
It is.
A nice
it is.
It is a nice
thing. No, definitely worth it. Definitely worth it.
Go for it, Chris. I'll go last today.
Okay, I got two tools. I was actually using them today. So these are the trusty DentCraft brace tools, and I'll just pull one of them out. It's the same tool. There's a right and a left, red and a yellow. So there it is right here. And it comes in a set. There's then you can buy it in a set of six, and I believe a set of nine or something, or 10 or something.
Definitely a must have for any technician.
Yes. And it has definitely that double bend. So they call it the brace tool set. BRC6 is the kit that I normally buy. It's $139. So if you guys are looking for some nice brace tools, to me, this is the most affordable set out, and you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, must have for any technician. Yeah.
So I'll show you guys quickly the larger. I think this is the largest one. So I would say about maybe 22 inches. Yeah, maybe about 22 inches, 20 inches. And it still has that bend, that second bend in the middle of it. It's like a 30-degree bend. So, and the foot is pretty long. So, I actually really like this tool. So, this is This is a kit that I buy all of my technicians when they first start out. So my second tool that I have, I was using this today too. I was working on a nice 95 Supra, I believe, or 96 Supra.
You're bringing a torch.
And it's a torch. It's a simple torch. And maybe some people that are watching don't know what we do with these or how we use them or how they are used day in day. But when it gets cold, we can heat the panel up with this. A lot of experienced techs, you might even see in Dave's video, he's actually heating a panel up with this torch. You have to really be careful, but if you know what you're doing, it's a quick way to heat that panel. They do have some flameless torches out now. I don't know where to get those, and I need to review those. But
Amazon,
what I've always used, right? Oh, it comes with flameless torch. Okay, so I need to order that. But this one, the propane lasts you forever. I think I may have gone through maybe two in my career, it seems like. But also, what I used it today was I heated the whale tail up, and then you know cut the glue that was inside the door. So a lot of the beginner techs may be wondering how we cut the glue in the doors or get through some of these tight braced areas with the glue. You just heat the tool up really, really hot, maybe not cherry red, but close to it, and then pretty much cut the glue with it.
So. I have a specific paddle tool that I use just to heat up with the torch.
Okay.
So instead of using your good paddle tools, sometimes the glue will get stuck on there. Mm-hmm, it'll make some nasty. So I have one paddle tool that's a thin, older Dentcraft. And I just reheat that same one every time. It's just a nasty paddle tool that I use for cutting braces. So that's a good little tech tip for you guys.
Yeah. So all my, you know, I have the Ultra Whale Tails, and they don't leave as much glue as maybe the Dentcraft. I think just by heating this up, you're actually taking off their little heat treatment or whatever, the coating that they put on there. But the Dentcraft ones, the Ultra Dent Tools do not really leave that residue as you cut as much. Now, they do, but it takes a very long time. Many cycles of this, so that's my two. So
I got a cute little tool today. I actually used it this afternoon. It's the tiny. I actually got this from. It's a Dentcraft tool.
Dentcraft, yeah.
There's a right and a left. And it's always that tool that like guys buy them all the time. They hang them in the rear view, you know, little thing for a dent guy. Maserati door up by the trim. Up on the molding, couldn't find any other tool, and I'm digging through my box, and I'm like, I know I've got this thing, fix a dent, $200 dent with this little, tiny little tool that I've used twice. You can see, I mean, obviously it's bent, but that thing is awesome. Dentcraft sells them. It's not on their website, so
you have to
call. No, yeah, I haven't been able to find them.
Oh wow! I think it comes in like a little kit or something.
I found them at an MTE like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and bought them. I think I paid like $2 or $5 for them or something. So it's an awesome tool, certainly for tight accesses. You know, you never know what you need. You know, I have my little Door Explorer backpack, and it's got 15 tools in it. But the one time you need that tool, it's in the back of your truck. You've got it with you. So I got another good thing here. It's the Magnatec mat. This thing. I don't think you have one, Chris, do you?
I do not. I do not have one of those.
Vince came out with this thing. It's got magnets in it. It sticks on the car. I actually used it the other week. I was doing a Jeep Wrangler cowl with the dent, the typical cowl dent, and I put this in between the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the hood, so it kind of protected the panel. You know, a lot of times you put a towel up there. This worked really well. Back to my roof stories. I do a lot of roofs. So I use this thing probably two or three times a week. But it's an awesome. I use it all the time. It was definitely a good purchase. That's it. Magnatecmat.com. Dave, you've got the Magnatec mat, right?
I do, and it doesn't get as used as often as I thought I would use it. But I was actually watching one of Hudson's videos, and he was using it
On the
to
quarter.
on the quarter, and I'm like, wow, that's actually a really, really good idea. So I think I need to incorporate it a little bit more. But I do have the map. I don't use it as often as I should, like I said.
It is. I'll tell you, he's got these little tip holders. You're supposed to put the magnets in there. I don't have the magnets in there because I'm not really changing that many tips. So most of the time, this is great for glue pulling a rail because you put this on the roof. You can just throw your tabs up here. If you have the magnetic tabs, it'll stick to the mat. My glue gun. I put my little slide hammer up here. It doesn't roll. You're always kind of rolling around unless you have a cart sitting right next to you. But this works really well for glue pulling. It's a great tool. I mean, it's got a lot of uses in our business. So check them out. Vince has got a great product. I have nothing bad. I think I bought it on the pre-release, so I don't even know what it costs now. I don't know what the price is. That's all I
Nice.
got.
That's it.
That's all I got. That's it. That's
All
it.
right,
Haven't
let's
bought
get.
anything new.
Oh, you haven't? Well, I'm gonna go ahead and get this flameless propane torch. Think I'm gonna
Yeah,
order that
it's on
today.
Amazon for like $89 or something, right? It's like a propane heat gun or something they're calling
Okay.
it.
Flameless heat gun. Yeah.
I did get that wedge in the mail from Benny,
Yes.
and what's it called? I forget what it's called.
It's
Talon
called the
or something.
Talon.
The
Talon, yeah.
Talon. And who was it? Stucky?
Yes.
Yes. I used it this week,
It's
and
an awesome wedge.
that's it. That's the
It's
one I'm
nice.
using. That's the one I'm
Epic.
using. Thank you, Benny. I appreciate that too.
I used
It
that
was a
to
great.
date like three times,
It
though.
was a great wedge. I'll tell you, I've been using that wide Dentcraft blue wedge that they have. Nothing like that Stucky wedge, man. It really isn't. I mean, it's the most simple tool out there, and one of the cheaper tools you can buy. But man, it just works. It just works. So.
It just
All right, so let's get to today's topic, which is mobile or a retail shop. So this is going to be pertaining to guys that do primarily retail work, and what do they think? And I know the weather in different areas may be but I think we can speak some experience with Dave being 100% mobile. Ryan, you're about what, 50% all mobile?
Yeah, about 50-50.
50-50, and I'm probably 70-30, so I figure we could get through these some nice, positives and negatives and dislikes and likes. So, so if anybody have any questions, go ahead and put it in the chat about mobile or having a shop. So let's just start off with some of the things that you like from mobile, and how does that work well with your clientele base, and where do you think some of the benefits are compared to someone that has to sit at a shop? I guess Dave, you could probably start it off.
Yeah, so I'm completely mobile, 100%. No brick and mortar, no shops that I, shuffle or shuttle cars to or anything like that. All work is done at customer's home or work. And my customers love it. They love the convenience factor. They kind of get confused sometimes. They're said, where's your shop located? Because they automatically assume that we have a shop and don't understand that the entire business is based around being completely mobile. I try to tell people we're like Safelite. We're able to come to you everywhere. Safelite's able to change the glass out in your vehicle, either at your home or work, and they pride themselves on that. We do the same. One of the biggest challenges is either drive time or weather. Those are typically the two biggest factors that kind of can mess some can get in the way, or the two biggest obstacles or challenges that you're dealing with every day being mobile. trying to arrange your schedule in a timely manner to where you're getting every place, you're hitting every place in a fast amount of time, or the weather just slowing you down. You know, today it's April 9th and it's snowing outside. So, you know, and it's just what we have to deal with. And sometimes, so we did a couple reschedules today, just because of the weather this morning, and you know, it happens. But we don't, the overhead is so low, which is nice. We're not having to deal with any, light bills and gas bills and whatever else, you know, overhead comes along with having a shop.
So, I know you reference Safelite. From my experience, Safelite is on the upper level of the price point because they offer that service and they do it so, you know, so well with the scheduling and all that stuff. So what I'm thinking is that if you do offer this mobile service, are you more expensive than being at a shop? Or would you lower your prices if you do have a shop? Or would you raise your prices for a shop? I mean, and also the customer perception.
Even more.
You're coming to them. You're offering them that service. You're valuing their time. I feel like, you know, better than me, than I am, and maybe Ryan is with them coming to our shop. We're giving them their time back. So that, to me, comes with a cost because we're eating up that time. And just like Safelite, it is very expensive to get stuff done from Safelite compared to a competitor. But they'll probably be the first one at your door ready to put you in.
And then we try to do
the same. Does that convenience kind of...
It doesn't... I mean, it was never really a huge key of my prices are going to be higher because of this. Mm-hmm. But when you put it like that, it does. I know we're on the more expensive end anyway. But even if I had a shop, I think we would still do the same. The prices would still be just as high, if not higher.
Right now, it seems like you justify your pricing based on your quality of work, which is correct. Obviously fair. But again, you're giving back that customer time. And yeah. It's costing you an extra hour to fight through snow because I've seen some of your, you know, you called me during the day. Hey, I'm driving in, you know, 6 feet of snow, and that liability of something happened. I'm just looking at some of the chat, and one guy says, yeah, they'll take your car and steal everything in it. So you have just more liability. It seems like with the mobile service. Want to advertise that, you know, we give you back your time? Is that an advertising?
Nothing that we really deploy out there. But it's just there. It doesn't affect the price directly, but I can see what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But we don't advertise it that way. But, you know, we're able to say, oh, you can do this. And the customer, oh, you can come to work, come to our work. I said, yeah, we can. Well, do you charge more for being mobile? No, it's part of our service. That is our service. Our service is a completely mobile repair service.
Well, do you think you have a competitive advantage over maybe someone that does have a retail shop in your area?
I believe so. Instead of trying to shuttle customers in a certain area or a certain radius to your shop, where now they have to take time. It's only on their lunch break. They have to drop the car off in the morning or they have to do it after work. They only have Saturdays available. I feel like that's because I know how if I want to go get an oil change, you know what I mean? I'm not going to take time. I don't want to take time out of my week and take the time away from work to go ahead and go get an oil change.
Right.
I'm going to try to do it on my day off, which is going to probably be Saturday or Sunday. So if they're able to sit at their desk and still do what they need to do at work and have us come out, I mean, it's a huge competitive advantage being completely mobile.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
No.
Just in case anybody's wondering and just haven't, you know, commented or anything. Ryan, what is your take on that? I know you do.
It's got its advantages and disadvantages. You know, sometimes the retail going to the customer's house doing the repairs, I truly enjoy. Weather is definitely a factor, like Dave says. I mean, it's. cold weather, rain, snow, you know, and the customer's still like, well, you can't come in the snow. You want to, you know, you're almost like, do you want to sit on your couch and watch some guy in the snow fix your car? Because I don't.
Yeah, I feel bad.
You know, it's like the guy that cuts your grass, a landscaper that comes to your house. He's not going to come in the snow.
Yeah.
You know, so I think
barely comes in the rain.
I think there's definitely some advantage of mobile. In my instance, it's kind of as long as it's convenient. You know, convenient for me also. Right. You know, if it's in my area, as long as I'm not driving an hour and 15 minutes away to go fix a car that, you know, it may be smashed. You don't know. I try to plan my Saturdays. My Saturdays are more of a retail facility, but that's the big smashes. I don't do any big smashes on mobile. So I kind of have that advantage to where I'm bringing it to my shop on the weekend to do the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But on mobile, it's got its advantages. You know, it's I think a lot of it's weather driven.
So we get all four seasons, you know, Ryan and Dave, I think you get more winter, fall and spring more so than summer, right? How long is your summer, Dave? Pretty long?
Typically 90 days.
90 days. So ours is a little
that's
bit
our summer, June, here. July, August.
But with all, well, it seems like we all get like a decent amount of the season. So it just seems like to me for maybe what 120 days, you're just really, you're kind of up in the air with weather. And then I just saw a post of a gentleman. I can't remember which dink company posted. And he said he normally parks the vehicle on the side of the in front of the customer's house, but the customer moved the vehicle. I'm sorry. Oh, the customer moved the vehicle basically on the curb, and then he parked in the park, their little driveway, and worked inside their garage. And some lady just plowed in the back of their SUV.
I saw that.
And I was like, this is the reason. I remember that day when I was working on the side of the road, and I felt like I needed a reflecting vest. And the lady didn't care. She was like, you can work on it here. And I'm just like, well, my tools are two blocks away. I'm going to try to make this happen. And I kind of drew the line that day, and I was like, the liability just is not there for me. Yep. I do too many cars in the city, or, you know, outskirts of D.C. is still really, you know, D.C., so I just kind of stopped it there, but
that's my stuff in Baltimore. A lot of people, I'll Google map it while I'm talking to them and
see where they're
and see if it's a city street. It's just, I'm not doing it. That's as easy as it is. It's just not going to happen.
So I mean, with your experience, and I know you run around a lot, and you maybe built the company to do that, but you know, going forward, you know, what do you think is more convenient for you, maybe more convenient for your customers, Ryan? Because I know you have 50-50, and I don't know if you're willing to move over to the, you know,
I still think it's 50-50. You know what I mean? I have a lot of customers that say, I'll just bring it to you.
Right.
You know, so I think it's all in how you gauge your customer, you know, your business, you know. Dave's built his business on being 100% mobile. I've been 50-50.
Right.
So, you know, the other opportunity that I have that I'm very lucky is I have a lot of body shops that I service. And I can have them meet me at the body shop to where I can have inside space, or, hey, I need this headliner drop. They'll drop the headliner, whatever I need. You know, so I've got that advantage also. So,
right.
You know, but I think there's definitely a market for just a retail facility. You know, I just think you have to make sure it's location, location, location.
Yeah, that's
it's all location based. Yeah. It really is. If it's not a great location, you're gonna get work. I mean, you're gonna get work off the internet, but I think it's location based.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, for me, the convenience factor is huge. But what scared me is overhead. That's what scares me. Not being able to have enough work to go ahead and cover all of that and then make the profit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people can get tied up really, really fast, and things can go south really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
If their marketing plan and their marketing strategies aren't in line with that actual area and bringing those customers to the shop,
mm-hmm.
You have money going out and there's not enough coming in, and things can get, you know, pretty scary pretty quick.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's keeping it mobile limits a lot of that.
Yep. Well, I like I said, I'm leaning towards 100% retail. At least for my body, myself, 100% retail. I mean, 100% retail shop. So it does not mean going to anybody's shop. They'll just have to come to me, or I'll maybe step away a little bit. But and it, I think it has its advantages. Me personally, it allows me to train, allows me to get some CEO stuff done. And not being in the car, because we all know being in the car, you can't do anything other than talk on the phone. So, and you're not even allowed to do that or whatever the case may be. So
I'm eating, texting, and talking at the same time.
Exactly. So I feel like you're just rushed every second of the day. And I think, you know, you lose sight of what you really are in this business for. What I'm in this for is really to fix dents. I love it. I still love it to this day. But you know, as an owner, I need to deal with certain things. So I just have to be at a shop. Also, what I noticed is that when I started doing the 50-50 mobile, half the customers will come in and then just grab a card. I wouldn't be there and I would lose customers. I'm a big advocate about if the customer is ready, you know, ready to get the repair done, you do that. I hate standing in line to give you money. I think that's the stupidest thing ever. And Amazon, see, figured that one out. But when I go anywhere, why am I waiting to hand you money? You should just take it as fast as you can. So when a customer comes in, I always ask, do you want to get it done today? And then I kind of fill them out, almost like the question that they ask you at every single dealership. You know, are you ready to buy today? Or if we find one for you, Are you willing to, you know, buy it today? So I kind of asked the customer. Most customers are saying, yeah, I would love to, because I don't want to come here a second or third time.
I'm here, just do it.
What'd you say?
I'm here, just do it.
Yeah, I'm here, just do it. And so I don't know. I've had a customer today. He came from DC a week ago, because I stepped out that 70-30 split. So the 30%, he just happened to come in when I wasn't there. And he was like, man, I drove all the way here from DC. I felt bad. He came today. He didn't want to wait for the job to get done. It's like he would have known that the first time he arrived. Or I might have been in a rental car, persuade him a different, you know, to leave the car with me or whatever the case may be. He was already irritated the second trip out. So it was unfortunate, but you know, that's why I say 100%. You know, you can only do one thing. You know, I talk to a lot of detailers, and it's very hard for them to do, you know, maybe some paint correction inside the shop, and then run around and go do, you know, car washes and wash and wax in mobile. It's almost impossible.
It's just like us. I get a lot of questions. I had a customer. I actually have the hail car at my shop now. Can you? The State Farm said you were mobile. You'll come to me. I won't do a hail car outside at a customer's house. I just won't do it. And they're like, I don't understand why. And I said, I have to drop your headliner. If I break a clip, if I lose a screw, I'm stuck in your driveway.
Yeah.
The other thing is seeing all the damage. So
that's the biggest thing.
You know,
seeing all that damage.
We do have a question from Peter. It says, hey guys, I'm a newbie and I was wondering, how do you deal with the extreme weather when you don't have a shop, and can you charge extra for that? I don't. You know, it's just kind of built into the price.
Yeah. I mean, you're still charging extra, but
it's built into the price. I don't really look. Yeah. It's not an actual fee that's, you know, on the estimate or anything like that. And then also I'm layering up. I'm wearing coveralls. I got a heat gun. I got the torch. I mean, they're all there. If it's severe damage, I will try to shuttle them to one of my body shops that I work with. I do that every so often. So, you know, I am completely mobile, but there's going to be those instances where I would love to get this done. The customer wants to get it done, but I'm not comfortable with working on something for 6 hours when it's 30 degrees outside.
Exactly.
I'll try to get them to a shop to where we can still get it done. So I mean, but you know, every day. What?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was say, but just normal everyday day-to-day operation is just layering up, heating up that panel with, you know, heat gun or torch, and working. You know, just working through it.
I use a lot of hand warmers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hot hand packages. If it's freezing cold, I'll and the first thing, as soon as I get in the truck, open it up, let them get hot. By the time I get to a stop that I'm outside working, I put them in my pockets. I'm good to go. So
much work. It's like, wow.
I know, and you're just comfy in your shop. You're warm. You know, the music's on. He's wearing a t-shirt, and we're out here freezing. And
I'm not. Come on now. I was mobile today. The entire
pumping out videos all day long, and we're just out here freezing and trying to work, make a dollar.
No, I mean, I used to do it, man. And thing cold, that I can't work when my toes are cold, so I would take those hand warmers and stuff them in my shoe. I'm good with the hands. I mean, I could just warm up as much as I possibly can, but I can't deal with the hammer. I'm sorry, one of the guys sent me a text. Dave, do you have a generator, or how do you screen your customers? Do you ask them a certain amount of what questions do you ask them to know if they have a plug or if you're going to be working in a garage or anything? What are some of the things that you're looking for?
I think we lost Dave.
Yeah, I think so.
I do screen it. I ask them, do you have a heated garage? Is always my first question. Most of the time they're like, no, but I have a garage. Or they'll say, yeah, I have a garage, but you can't get into it. Mainly ask if they have an outlet. You know, if you need a heat gun or a polisher or whatever you need to use. A lot of times we'll use, you know, screen that phone call just to see what the situation is. You know, most of the time if they say, yeah, they have a garage, most of the time you can't get in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Dave, what do? Do you screen the calls for when you go to retail to find out if they have?
Yeah. What question do you ask?
Sorry, I'm having like bad connection issues right now. What was the question?
What questions do you ask the customer when they call about mobile? Do they have a garage? Do they have electric? What are your usual questions that you ask, almost like screening the call?
During the winter, I do ask for a garage. Just on a normal day to day, if it's just a regular day in Chicago, I'm not asking for anything. I just need the vehicle. That's what I tell them. We don't need anything. We just need the vehicle. Wintertime, I'm definitely screening for parking garage if you're at work, attached garage, you know, if you're at home, that would be best. If they say, no, I have a garage, I said, all right, cool. I'm going to assume that there's going to be electric in there. So, not too much screening.
Sounds good. Any other questions?
I get it. I get a lot of times the customer's like, oh, the car's in the driveway. I'm at work. Just let me know when you're done and I'll pay over the phone. Well, I need the keys. Well, that's not going to work. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? You're like, a lot of customers, you almost have to explain, we need the keys or roll the window down or access the panel. And so, you know, that makes it difficult too. I get a lot of customers that are like, it's out front of my house. Just go ahead and take care of it and bill me. And I'm like, I need the keys.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And if they're not comfortable with leaving the keys, because some people aren't, and I completely understand with a mobile service, here's the keys to my car. Yeah. And I'll be back in an hour and my car is still there. I completely understand that. So I'll just kind of gauge, you know, whatever I know I need to get done. If I need to roll down two windows, get those windows rolled down, get, you know, the trunk, whatever I need to actually go do. And then here's the keys back. That's all I needed. You know, you can keep your keys. That's fine.
We got a couple questions in there, Chris. You see where we are?
I'm up here with...
It looks like Rick's going to buy a Stanley Liner raised snake tool. So he's going to let us know how that works out. Rick's actually from Maryland, so I'm sure he'll fill me in. I know we were talking about that snake tool like 2 weeks ago, so definitely, Rick, let us know what you think. I'm too cheap to buy it and just try it out, so I'll let you try it. So,
there's no way you can rent an apartment retirement. So, C. Miller said owning a space would work well. You could rent in part of your retirement. So, yeah, I don't think you ever, at least where I'm at, owning is, you know, you're talking $2 million building. We're not a body shop or anything that high volume like that. So,
Chris Teagues asks, Chris, do you feel like you can make more money in a shop versus mobile?
Yes. You know, there's an old, not old saying, but I used to say it all the time. I only make money with tools in my hand. So the more I have my tools in my hand, the more money I can make. I don't even care if I give a 50% discount, and that's 50%, not $50. I can still make more money than doing mobile. I'm just fast with the tools in my hand. So I think we all are, actually. So
oh, yeah.
You line up 20 cars, we're still going home by 2 o'clock.
So. I don't know. I smoked the tires off that truck, so I can't say that. I mean, Dave's followed me through Baltimore before, so.
True.
Yeah, we're pulling some Fast and the Furious moves.
And if you hang with some hail guys, they're the same way. I mean, they're just, they don't have tools in their hands. They're like, hey, this ain't working. I got to go. So we'll write estimates. We'll do everything, that, you know, but they want to push. Same way with me. I want to push. So.
And Nick's asking, how many mobile retails do you schedule in a day, depending on damage, of course?
I average around 4 to 5.
I'm, I guess, probably 3 to 4. And I'll throw in my body shop stuff in between. You know, it really depends on the day and the damage.
Yeah, it's going to be dependent on damage for sure. I think tomorrow I have like 5 or 6 lined up. So
yeah,
average is going to be anywhere between like 4 to 8, and it's all going to be depending on damage.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and then I got the body shop.
If a shop calls, you know, hey, I got one real quick, and now you're zipping over there to go take care of an emergency. I actually had to reschedule some things this last weekend because I had 5 people call me on Thursday between 4:30 and 5:30. Hey, I have one tomorrow. Hey, I have one tomorrow. Can you be here tomorrow? I have an emergency. And so Friday I was pumping out work, and you know, and then it ended up being about 7 to 8 calls on Friday.
Yep.
So I got an email question in this week. And what it's asking is, if you have a new account call you about a car, you go and you look at this car and it's bad. You know, it's bad all the way around. It's got 3 or 4 smash panels. You know, the person that called you is trying to get you in that account. And you look at the damage and like, I can fix it, but this car is probably going to take an experienced tech all day. That's how bad this car is. How do you handle that so you don't price yourself out of the market?
Do you want the account or not? That's the question. I mean, that's the only question.
If you want the account,
not.
But you already have a prior relationship with somebody at the account, how do you handle that? If you want it, spend all day on the car for no money.
If I want the account, I'll spend all day on it.
If I want it,
I'm getting it.
If I want it, I'll get it.
I mean, that's just
I'm
it.
I'm gonna show them why.
Yep, I'm gonna show them why. Exactly, Dave.
But what do you price it at? Do you price it fair? Do you price it cheap?
See, I go in there and I say, "What do you got in it? What can you spare?" Because it doesn't really matter what they kind of only want to spend what they have in, you know, what they have in the car, and not push them the car out of the market so they can sell it. Yeah. So I kind of go in there. You're going to lose anyway, so I just put the ball in their car. What do you want to spend?
Yeah.
He's spending $100. You know I can't do it for $100. And that's how the negotiation.
If he comes at, say, he comes at $300, and you're like, this is going to take me all day for $300.
Hey.
If you want it.
If you want it, I'll eat that because I'm going to make it back in a month. So if it's that kind of an account, you know, I mean.
It's a good question.
You know, yeah, yeah, great question for sure. But you know, I was talking to I won't say his name, but I was talking to another PDR tech, and he just recently opened up a shop, and it was the same thing. He was on a car, and he wasn't making as much money on this car. And he's like, I'm just losing my mind on this car. I'm losing time, you know, this, that, and the third. And I'm, you know, I think the guy had other hell cars that he needed to work on. And I was like, look, man, he's got more on the pipeline. If you really want it, you gotta get it. I mean, there's plenty of times people go and do work, businesses go, and they go, man, I gotta do this for free, or their guy messes up. My neighbor was getting some crown work on the chimney done, and they used the hose, I guess, to set the concrete, to stir the concrete, and the hose, they just left it on, and it actually, something happened, and it actually went through the chimney and down her whole floor, her basement. So they're over there, you know, oh, I'm sorry, yada yada, heavily discounted the price because they didn't want to refinish this lady's whole basement. And she was cool, you know, no problem. As long as there's no mold, they'll check it. Guy came in, did a little Stanley steamer, cleaned everything up. Most people be like, I want a whole new basement. So he probably lost. He probably made no money on that job for a simple hose. And you know, this is what you are, what you have. You're in business, you know, you take sacrifice. I mean, you act like you don't. You know, we don't have a union here. So I think you have to sacrifice if you want it. That's just my take. What do you take, Ryan? What do you think? What would you do?
It really depends on the damage. You know what I mean? I mean, if it's questionable damage from the get and you're experienced,
you said it's fixable now.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I've been in that situation and I almost feel like you're being set up for failure right off the bat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, because the damage is so severe.
Yeah,
that more than likely they have a dent company already, and that dent company said that needs to go to the body shop.
Yeah,
right.
And
one only good thing with that is when you get it out there, it's a used car or whatever it is, and you get it 75%. It's a used car.
You've also just showed them. You've also just showed them your skill and what they can go buy at auction,
which is not a good thing.
Right. Like, what they can know. We've got this guy Ryan now. He can fix these nasty cars, you know. But I think that's all part of the negotiation. That's all part of the letting them know. Like, hey, I will fix this, and I want this account, and I will be your dent company. But this is, you know, based off of the fact that this is this one car. This will be charged as X amount for next time. And then, you know, give me all your used cars and we're going to do it for this, blah, blah, blah. And it's all part of that whole deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a dealership call me and say, hey, we got a hail car. And I went there and I saw the marks from another PDR company marking all up. And so I started to do my little research and see kind of how much they bidded the car for. And I went in there and said, look, I don't care what it is, but I get these two dealerships. Well, you know, let me talk to the GM and the owner. I said, talk to you, you know, who you want. Just let me know. We'll have a team of guys coming there. We'll get it done in 2 days. It was like high stress.
Did you do it?
And I called him. The salesman kept calling me saying, hey, come do the car. He's not going to make that final decision. So I'm talking to the manager. Manager is a nice guy. He said, let me find out from the GM if he doesn't have any other relationships with any other company. But it sounds like, you know, you guys are cheaper. You guys ready to knock this out? Okay. I already knew what the car was bidded for. They wanted some ridiculously low price, but I wanted all the dealership, set up a schedule, and let's get started. And I was going to do it on the scheduled date. So I was going to pull those cars that they wanted me to repair on a weekly basis and pull the hell car and have the team come in there and just take care of everything. But I called him three times. He's kept updating me. Oh no, you know, the guy has a, you know, he's friends with this dent company. I say, okay, well, that's fine. Let me know if you're willing to switch. We'll see you later. So I don't do the, you know, stuff like that for free.
I just had an actual interesting conversation. I have a Nissan account that I service that they have an in-house dent guy. He's kind of a self-taught dent guy. anything on a body line, anything big, he really doesn't touch. So they kind of brought me in to do some of the bigger stuff. So obviously the pricing is adjusted. It isn't like a standard
right.
used car lot. So every week I go in there, I walk the lot. If there's something small, you know, I price it. And the manager was fired. So last week I go in there for the first time with this new manager, and you walk up and you can just tell the persona of this manager. You're already like, yep, you're that guy.
He's on a high horse.
So he's like, did you find any cars? I said, yeah, you know, so let's go walk. So we walk out there. He's in a full 3-piece suit, hair slicked back. I mean,
Rolex on
a whole get up.
Oh, man.
And, you know, we're trying to figure each other out. He's asking where I live. And, you know, we're trying to get some personal information. And we walk, and he's like, how much for that one? And it was like a dent in the door. And I was like, it's 75. He goes, how about 65? Then we look at another one. How about 55? And I look at him and I said, this isn't let's make a deal. It really isn't. It's just not let's make a deal. You know, and that's just because of that's I'm not just the regular dent guy in there fixing dents. You know what I mean? I'm not in there. I'm not a door dinger.
And you're not getting the cherry work. So
exactly. So, and he was like, after like the third or fourth car, he was like, all right, just go ahead and fix them. Now this week, if I go in there, I may not have the account, but you know, it's, and the good part about that is I'm in a situation to where I'm okay. But you know, sometimes you have to stand your ground.
Yeah.
You know, the new manager is feeling, he's feeling you out, and you almost have to just sit back and say, look, dude, this is what it is. So, you know, don't be scared to stand up for yourself sometimes. In our business, a lot of times, I think a lot of guys feel like they have to do it. You know, he's telling me his other dent guy will do it for $50. And you're like, all right, let me just do it for $50. You know what I mean? So I think that's a lot of the issues that are out there with dent guys is they're so scared of losing the business, but sometimes you just have to stand your ground.
I agree.
Yeah.
I had one today. Guy called on it. It was a truck bedside, smashed F-150. The lower edge in the picture, you could tell the lower edge was kind of blown out where it blows that lower lip. So he's talking to me about the repair, and I said, I really need to see the car. The pictures aren't giving it justice. I said, that lower lip is blown out. He's like, no, it's not. You know, it's the customer's always telling you what they want you to hear with bad damage.
Oh, they've been pushing for years.
And he was actually, he finally gave in and said he went to Stephen Green over at the Paintless Dent Doctor and got a quote from him. And we were talking the conversation. He kept bringing it up, and I kept telling him I needed to see it. And I said, just go to Stephen Green.
Yeah.
You know, it comes to a point where you just back down. You know you can fix it.
Yeah.
But at that point, he's already sold. He just wants another price from another company. How do you deal with companies' pricing stuff? You know, price checking is what I call it.
For me, it's fine. Price check it. It's fine with me. We offer a different type of level of experience, a customer experience. So if you want to wait for maybe them and deal with that, you know, you come to me, you're eating, you know, we have chips, we have coffee, we have water, we have all the bells and whistles. We have your nice TV. We got Wi-Fi, all that stuff. The price is my prices. You know what the repair is going to look like at the end. And that's it. We have easy scheduling. We just try to make it as easy as we possibly can for the customer. And that comes with, you know, not necessarily a price. We don't charge any more for it or anything like that, but I would remember us based on how we treated you. So if they don't feel that and they feel like a price is better for that, then I don't know. I just don't, you know, feel like you value what we're trying to bring to the table. To a certain degree, I guess, you know. Sometimes I play the price game, man. You know, like I had a lady that said, man, it's my rental car, this, that, and the third. So I was like, all right, you know, it's a nasty dent. And I kind of, all I did was just put her before a little bit of the other people and just work through the night for her car so she can deliver it the next morning. I mean, if that doesn't, you know, help you out, I don't know what does. So
I think it's all about the experience you're giving to the customer.
Yeah, man. I mean, we try to inform them.
You're never going to make happy. Doesn't matter. If you jump through the hoops, you're just not going to.
I mean, I had a customer, I did an estimate, and I mean, this thing, if you've seen on my Instagram, it was like that Hyundai that I did, the whole quarter panel just crushed from the door to the, you know, the bumper. And he comes, it was another one, he comes and he says, I think around 12 something, just gauging from the other one. And he was like, wow, I got a paint quote for like $530. And I'm like, I don't even know how they're painting this for $530. I said, sir, if it's a good repair and you feel confident that they're willing to give you the, you know, some good work, I would take it. And, you know, I'm not just saying that because I said, I'm trying to give you, I said, my job is to give you the most information so you can make the proper decision. If you don't value paintless dent repair, you're never going to spend double that.
Yeah,
with me, because you're not valuing it. So you're just saying, but you're not my customer because you don't value the same things that I value or other, you know, other people do. I wouldn't want to put, you know, paint on that car. That car, from what I saw from that one side, didn't look like it was painted at all. And he was like, nope, they're going to paint it. And I'm like, how are they going to take the quarter panel glass, the bumper off, I was like, blend into the bumper. I was like, there's no way, but I didn't want to discredit a body shop or whatever the case may be. I was like, all right, cool. And get body labor hours. I was like, I don't think so, but it's cool. But you know, he said, hey, it's got 90,000 miles on it. I really don't care. I'm just going to go with my cheaper option. Cool. Obviously that's not my customer. So.
Exactly.
But Jonathan had a question about training, and yes, we do offer training. The price has not been set yet, but the website hopefully will be out in a week.
I would say it's probably going to be longer than a week.
Come on, we're almost done.
It's probably going to be, I would say 2 weeks. Let's be a realist here. Probably 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Okay. All right, 2 weeks. Jonathan, it's coming. We're going to offer a unique training way that we feel as though is different, and we feel is definitely, I won't say more valuable, but there's a reasoning why we have this different style. So just by talking with different dent guys and stuff like that.
Do any other questions? Use front fender supports? What? I don't.
Front fender supports?
A moose like knuckle a block of wood.
I do use a 2x4 every now and then.
2x4. Yeah.
Since the dent dial, I haven't used it. It's got that little foot on there. This rocks, man.
Do you charge a customer up front, or do you charge after the work is complete?
After the
always
work.
After.
Always after. And then have you ever had a customer not wanting to pay after the work is complete? I haven't come into that.
I have had a customer with money issues.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. I've never had a customer not pay. I always do it after.
And to be honest with you, if you have a customer and they're not happy with the repair, just because that's the type of person they are, you know, and you know it's a quality repair, I'll eat it. You know what I mean?
I do.
I'll eat it.
Yeah, I had one long time ago. He sent me one picture of his dent, and I think I charged him $200 or something like that. And he goes to the other side of the vehicle. It was a Jeep Cherokee. I remember it. And same exact dent, probably a little worse. And he's like, what about this one? And I said, well, it's going to be the same price. I got to take the door apart. Kind of the same thing. And I said, but what I can do, he had like a small dent in the same door on the other side. I said, I can take that one out, no charge, just to help out. He said, all right, fine, no problem. Let's do it. I was only trying to pay $200, but I'll do it. Finished. To repair, fine. You pay and called the bank. Was like, oh, he was not authorized to work on my vehicle. It's like, how did I have
always
your key?
Always have him sign?
Yeah, always. So I was like, sign. But it didn't even matter. The bank, he was like a HUD. It was like a HUD bank, Federal Credit Union, and their policy was like, take it to court. There's nothing you can give us that we will give you the money. You have to take them to court. And I had pictures, documents. Him, we were sending him emails. He was like, oh, thank you, blah, blah, blah. I actually didn't even take him to court. I thought it would be kind of waste my time of the day. So his comments, I got Googled his name and stuff, and I was like, oh, he's renting his rooms in his house and stuff. So I think he's worse off than me. So No big deal. But that was only one time. And that's, the company as a whole stopped accepting checks, unfortunately, for that reason right there. So we just do cash and credit right now.
I feel it out. You know, I get a lot of older customers, so I kind of feel them
what
out.
Do you,
if I'm comfortable, I'll take the check.
Let me ask you, I have a little pet peeve with this question, but do you charge more money if they use credit card?
No.
No.
And this was my thought on that whole thing. It's a convenience. We're back to the convenience setting. I don't carry much cash.
I agree.
I use my card all the time. If you go if you go to 7-Eleven, they're not charging you the fee. If you go to the car wash, they're not charging you the fee.
Yep.
Some guys do. And I completely understand it. But I just look at it as a convenience. And at the end of the year, you're writing it off anyway.
Yeah.
It balances itself out, yeah.
So yeah, I
completely don't understand why people charge fees. I do, you know, if a customer is coming in trying to pay a $6,000 hell card, you know, you can write, you know.
900 is my limit.
900, okay. So, I mean, yeah, I go, all right, cool. It is what it is. But I try to say, hey, if they don't, they don't, you know. But very rarely do I spend money with anyone that says, hey, you need a credit card fee. I had someone come in and do some work. He was like, credit card fee. I was like, you still do that? Come on, man.
It's 2.3%.
Yeah. And you know, he tried to charge me 5%. I was like, really? Call my guy.
So we do have to give a little shout out here on the page. We have Mr. Bryce Kelly on.
Oh, yeah.
Checking in. If you guys don't know who he is an absolute beast.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff he's fixing, not a chance.
Yeah.
For me, no way, you know. So check out his Instagram and his Facebook.
His channel, his YouTube channel.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. Humble guy.
So
very, very, very good tech, for sure.
Any other questions we're going through?
Chris, you got one on there, Rob, STI.
Oh, Chris, how do you pay your techs? You are training to work for you. Got an opportunity to do more training and make money at the same time. What's a fair cut?
That's a hard one because I know hail and door dinging, whether you're using your own car, your transportation, whether you're buying your own tools, the continued training. What do you, you know, the customer base, if he's bringing you more customers, you don't have to do anything. I don't know. Rob, if you want to kind of elaborate more on that question, or send me a private message, more information of what that deal is. I believe, you know, if you look at the Den Wizard deal, I mean everybody kind of knows their percentages, I think. I think it's a – is it safe to say their percentages,
Ryan? I don't even know what they are anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what they are. But I would say for Den Wizard, there's a lot of techs out there that make good money with their percentages. So, you know, and I believe they do have a low percentage, but they just feed you a lot of work. So I think they pay for you. Dave, you probably would know, but do they pay for your tools? Do they give you anything towards that or anything?
I don't remember.
Okay. So anyway, but yeah, so if you can elaborate more on that, Nick, he said 51% is the cap. And I'm pretty sure that's a 10-year plus tech, if not longer, for that cap. Because I think, what did they start at, Nick, if you can share that information? Let's see. Have any of you guys put any thoughts in doing pre and post scan on vehicles? You do much R&I. So I scan each vehicle. Is that what he's talking about, Carter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I scan each vehicle, and my labor rate for the shop for R&I is $85. So we use Mobile Tech RX, and it gives us a good idea how long it's gonna take to R&I, what we need to R&I, and it's just an $85 an hour R&I fee.
Nick says it's 30%.
You said what? 30%?
Nick's, yeah, 30%. Nick's started 30%.
before shop fees and adjustments, so I'll explain that. But straight lines, I did not post a video of that deep dent. I didn't even record a video that I normally would put on YouTube for that deep dent that I did, mainly because I was actually what happened with that situation is there was a bunch of golf balls thrown on this parking lot of this. It's actually a body shop's parking lot, and they needed to get cars out fast. They kind of said, "Hey, while you're here, can you work on these two nasty dents?" And I just didn't have time to record, but I did shoot a lot of pictures, a lot of quick films. And during our class that we're going to have, we're going to talk about how I repaired that. And I was just kind of talking during this video so that I can make sure I remember the process, because sometimes I forget, and sometimes how that dent was actually coming up, I changed the way I was actually doing it. So for that repair, I was taking pictures, and it's going to be in my PowerPoint presentation during our classes. So sorry about that. So what Nick is talking about, the 30%, Ryan, do you want to talk about it, or do you know what he's talking about? No.
What, 30%? So they're making 30% of whatever they bill.
That'd be shop fees and adjustments. So, if the shop is, a lot of times the shops will give a percentage. Yeah. And so that's before that percentage. So you still will get a little bit of money taken out, based on the shop's percentage. Yeah. And adjustments. So it may go down to like 22%, 20%.
I know the Wiz at CarMax, is their pricing scale there is I don't even, it's crazy low. But you have to look at the volume that they're getting at that account too. That's something you have to come in. I don't know the exact percentages.
It teardrops.
Dave Johnson's usually on here, and he would have all those percentages, but
I don't know if they want to, you know, they share that information or anything like that. That's just what's been going around. But I just wanted to answer your question, Rob. So he's talking about, do you scan clear the like codes? I've really had any code, any R&I done so far, knock on wood. No. So, you know, and I will probably cross that bridge when it comes. I do have a scan, like a scan man or something like that, that I have his phone number. So if that happens, hopefully the customer can still drive. They'll just have a check engine light on.
The good thing with me is a good friend of mine used to own one of those big companies that used to go around and scan. So I've kind of got the little loophole there. But but yeah, I've never really had an issue.
Pulling
a taillight. I just had a new F-150 that I had to fix a bedside, and I took the taillight out, and it had one of those blindside detector sensors in it. I just left the taillight plugged in. I didn't even take it, unplug it. I just let it hang there.
Yeah.
You know, that's the stuff you have to watch out for, is just kind of, I always say, be aware of your surroundings. You know, as in, do you need to unplug this? No. Can you work around it? Yeah. It's just not worth the headache if it needs to be programmed or any of that stuff. So,
yeah. Yep. Thanks, Chris. So we're about to wrap it up. So, guys, I know a lot of times when we say we're about to wrap it up, then the question starts flooding in. So go ahead and on this last, like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, if you guys have any other questions, the topic of the day was, mobile versus a retail shop. So if you guys have any questions on that or anything like
that. Hit that thumbs up, guys. It really helps us out. Give us some love.
If you're listening, please thumbs up. Please, that helps us out. I don't know. Maybe the thumbs down guy accidentally hit that, but give us the thumbs up. Don't hit the thumbs down. any questions, guys, please feel free to ask. No problem, Carter.
Damn, we did get a thumbs down. How about that?
I don't know, but whatever.
It's okay, guys.
Do it yourself. let's see. Did we answer everything so far?
Yeah.
Or cuts?
We had a lot of chat about the standing line of tool.
Yeah.
Bryce would have been a great person because he knows those tools pretty well.
Yeah, I think if Bryce is still listening, hopefully he is. I'm going to actually try to reach out to him and see if he can jump on the live feed and see if he can talk about that tool, because he's used that a lot over the past couple of months. So,
and Rick, definitely let me know when you get it. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, definitely. All right, it looks like we don't have any questions. You want to draw it to an end or talk about the
Go
for it, Dave.
What? Hold on. Go ahead, guys.
What do you say?
So go ahead. I'm just trying to type this up real quick.
I'm Ryan from RPS Dent Repair. Check me out on Instagram, YouTube. Not even YouTube. I'm not even on YouTube.
See, we're getting them.
You need to be.
Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat. Check it out. We're still looking for a tech also. If you want to send your resume over, we're also looking for a helper. RPSDentRepair@gmail.com
Yep.
David, Windy City Dent Repair out of Chicago. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Windy City Dent Repair.
I didn't hear he was breaking up. Chris Dentless Touch, Washington, D.C., Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. If you guys are listening, please, if you want us to talk about different topics, just leave it in a chat. We'll go back and look at the topics that you want us to, talk about, and hopefully have it for the next show. Rick, Bruce, and Dance. So definitely, we would love you guys' input. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. Please share this Q&As. At least share the time. I know Ryan and me. I think, Dave, you were probably ready, right, today?
What?
No? Every week, there's always us kind of doing a mad dash to get to keep these...
No, we were good. We were good.
You were good today? So I know last week you were... You know, please, hit that thumbs up. You know, we appreciate all that love. And then if you have any topics, definitely leave them in the chat. Message us. Ryan, email if you have any questions during the week. We have no problem answering it. I think Instagram is the best messaging system for me right now, or email. So what about you guys? If anybody's want to reach with y'all, so just
they can just call.
Call.
They can call me or email. I had some good conversation with two guys from last week.
Right.
Spoke to them on the phone, so it was some good conversations and some really good questions.
Instagram DM for me, and then email as well. I got two hats that I do need to send out to two viewers.
Dave's so giving hats out, guys.
I gotta get more made. No, but I do have two viewers here that I'd ask for them, so I'm gonna go ahead and send those out. I haven't forgot about you guys.
Yep,
it's a good one, fellas.
All right, guys, thanks for watching. See you next week.
See ya.
See you later.